Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observation Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet, and today is Friday, June 20th, 2014. And with me today, I have John Martellaro. How's it going, John?
Hey, it's going great. It's a glorious morning. It's 68 degrees and blue sky.
Colorado is a beautiful place.
Yes, it is.
Yes. And I also have with me Kelly Goumont. How's it going for you, Kelly?
Not too bad. The sun is also shining here, and it looks like it's going to be a great day here as well.
So, at least for today, we live on a beautiful continent. Go us.
Indeed.
Yeah. Okay, the first thing that I wanted to dive into today was reports about what's going to happen with the iWatch. And of course, it's still a rumored iWatch, but nonetheless, the iWatch. So Apple is supposedly going to be releasing the iWatch in October. And this comes from a piece that Brian Chaffin wrote yesterday. Mm-hmm. And we're at the point now where rumors like this are more than not likely to indicate or at least have a serious thread of truth in them. And then I'm actually working right now, because my time is not linear. I'm working on a piece about the iWatch myself that fits in with Brian's, saying that we actually get multiple models when it ships next October. And ooh. I was curious what you guys are thinking.
Well, for a long time, I have always thought that the iWatch needed to be a separate device from the phone. And so that makes me think about non-duplication of effort. You know, when you look at your iPhone display, you've got the time at the top in little tiny letters, and then you have to look at the calendar app, assuming it's on the home screen, to figure out what day it is. And so it makes me think that while this device is rumored to have a display, I don't see it as a duplicating display or something where there's going to be a lot of stuff going on. I see the iWatch as a sensor. I see it as a piece of jewelry, especially since it's going to have sapphire, and I see it as a kind of a minimalist and separated idea about what's going on. With maybe a default display of date and time together, and then maybe a touch option to bring up some other medical health information about your body at the time. But I don't see it as a extension of the iPhone display.
I'm with you on that. I don't see this as an extension of the iPhone. I see there's two ends to the spectrum. Based on the devices we have today, on one end we have the Pebble, and on the other hand we have the Misfit Shine. And the Pebble is truly an extension of the iPhone screen, and the Misfit Shine does some basic fitness data collection, but it has no display. And I think where Apple is headed is somewhere in between, but then off mm-hmm. to the side also. So we'll have something that may give us some more information that we would otherwise have to pull an iPhone out of our pocket for, but it's not going to be just a remote display for our iPhones.
I hope there are several models of it too, because I've written in the past that every watch company is astute about building models for men and women because of the smaller wrist that most women have. And so I'm really hoping that there will be a smaller version. And I know Kelly has been thinking about that.
Indeed. That's been my concern about all of this, is that I feel like people are really locked into this watch concept. And I don't know if it's because calling it an iWatch is a convenient way to convey the general idea, or if people really do think that this is going to be a band with a face that displays some sort of data. And I think on the Pebble end of the spectrum that Jeff described earlier, and I think that the Pebble end of it is really not for me. And it's a logistical thing. like John was talking about, because I have small hands, which are attached to small wrists, and I was absolutely in love with the iPod Nano watch situation. I wanted that so, so badly to be a thing that I could do, and I couldn't pull it off. And so people talking about, it's going to have this display, it's going to have that display, I have a hard time desiring an object that is basically the Dick Tracy communicator, you know, with a little bitty iOS screen on my arm, because the smallest screen that I'm going to want to wear on my arm isn't going to be useful in any way. So that's one thing. And what's happening is a little bit what Jeff said about being sideways. And I think it's going to be mostly a monitor piece. And what you do with the data that it's giving you is all stuff that happens within HealthKit apps, and it's stuff that you manage on your phone. And I think that that's going to be the interesting piece, is how people are able to hook into the thing on my arm and via my phone. So they're going to work together.
One of the things I always hoped it would do, because sometimes I'm not in the same room as my phone. Phone might be on the charger in my office, and I'll be in the kitchen making lunch or something, but I'll be wearing the iWatch. Mm-hmm. And if I don't hear the phone ring, I'd like to have a little indicator on my iWatch that, hey, my phone is ringing. You might want to go check it out. I think that'd be a nice feature.
Or I got a text if I, on the occasion when I don't have my phone in front of me. That's a thing that I too would like to have. Like right now I'm recording with you guys, but my phone is in another room. And so while we're recording, if I get a little icon that lights up on my wrist, that, you know, a little phone because my phone rang, or a little speech bubble because I have a text message, just to let me know that's a thing that happened, to be alerted to that.
You just know that Apple's going to do an elegant synthesis of the two. You look at the way that the engineers are making OS X and iOS work well together.
Yeah.
I think we're going to see the same kind of mentality in this device, where we're going to say, oh, it only does what I need it to do. It's so elegant. It's integrated. It doesn't duplicate. Mm-hmm. And there's a reason to do that, and that is because you want people to say, well, I've got my phone, and I spend some money for that, but now I need to go out and buy this cool device with a Sapphire display, because it provides me functionality that I'm not getting, and it's not duplicated. And so I'm motivated to run into the Apple store and say, I want one of those.
Yeah. And I want it to be something like that. I want it to be something that gives me a certain amount of utility aside from monitors my heart rate. I go up and down today.
Right.
I think another key feature of this will be that it works as a standalone device. And I know I've said this before, probably on multiple shows, but I don't see Apple releasing a wrist-worn monitoring, tracking, data, whatever device that is like the Galaxy Gear, where it's nothing more than accessory for a device you already have. It will work on its own, but if you have other devices, it will be able to do other things that make it even cooler.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. It has to be a standalone device, because somebody might have a Samsung phone, but they consider the Samsung Gear to be not what they want, and so this has to have functionality. I think it has to have functionality that's useful and attractive and something that you want to have. Apart from the phone, if you got an iPhone, great. It'll sync back to it when they're close enough. I think it has to be a device that you want to have that stands alone, just as Jeff said, and whose functionality is further enhanced by having a phone, which kind of creates that halo effect and sweeps you into the Apple world. But I just have this feeling that it's going to be something that'll be so cool that even if you don't have a phone, you'll want it.
Mm-hmm. And okay, so before we move on to the next topic, I'm going to throw out a prediction here, and I'm going to be very specific with this. So
Get a pen, kids.
Get a pen, kids. Okay, so part of the rumors swirl around the idea that Apple is going to release multiple iWatch sizes. So that would be like for men and women sizes. What I think they're going to do is have a device that comes with interchangeable bodies so that they only need to make the one thing, and then you can have it as your casual watch for around the town. You can swap it into a nicer band for when you're going out for the evening and it needs to look more formal, and it'll be available in sizes and styles for men and women. How's that for prediction?
Yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And a curved display is going to help that quite a bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Okay, so the next thing I wanted to hit is you, John. Figuratively speaking, of course.
Right, this is coming. All right, for all you listeners, they've been loading up for me, so here it comes.
Here's the deal. We talked about the entry-level iMac when it came out, and I had Kelly and John on to talk about that. And the consensus at the end of that episode earlier this week was that they would recommend this computer to someone else, and I would not. Then Brian Chaffin and I talked about this on Apple Context Machine, and this is after we had more information, which included the fact that you can't upgrade the RAM, at which point we were both giving it thumbs down. And so then yesterday, John writes an editorial saying, this is a rockin' machine.
Well, I said the 8 gigabytes of RAM is just fine, actually.
Yes, but I'm speaking in an inflammatory sense to get you wound up.
Well, one of the things I looked at was the requirements for Mavericks, which is 2 gigabytes, and the requirements for Yosemite, which is 2 gigabytes of RAM. And we all know that's conservative, and it's based on only average stress, and it's designed to promote a wide adoption of Mavericks and Yosemite. So I went to a company that sells RAM, and I looked at their recommendation. They said, yeah, our experience, 2 gig is probably not sufficient. We recommend 4 as a minimum, with the even better performance at 6. And so I'm thinking, well, 8 gigabytes of RAM is generous with respect to the average user and with respect to the scope and the power of the machine. And I'm also of the mind that Apple is pretty sensitive about uncovering how their customers use their machines. There's a feedback mechanism in the system preferences. And if you turn it on, all sorts of information is sent back to Apple. And they know who's upgrading their iMacs. They know how OS X is performing with a given amount of memory. And 8 gigabytes of RAM, given that recommendation that I saw at Ramjet, seems to be a good amount of memory for an entry-level machine. It'll provide everybody generally what they need. And if you, for an entry-level beginner Mac, and so I recommend it in the article for people who are switchers or new to Mac, beginners, young people, customers on a severe budget, they want to get the best possible machine for the least amount of money. They're not hard over on extreme performance. They expect to keep the machine until it doesn't work well anymore, and 8 gigabytes of RAM should be sufficient for about 3 or 4 more years. And then when they're ready to get a new machine, they'll sell it back to Apple through the recycle program, or they'll hand it down to somebody, and they'll probably never noticed any issues. And so that was the gist of my article, and I'm standing by it, and I think it's a fine machine for an entry-level person.
And I'm perfectly fine with you standing by your opinion, even though it's wrong. So here's my take. What Apple did was they built a machine that has a very limited ability to grow. Matter of fact, it has no ability to grow. The only build-to-order option you can even get on this thing is to upgrade to a bigger hard drive or an SSD. And my feeling is, 8 gigs of RAM is really the bare minimum that people should be running on, even casual users. Because especially casual user, they're going to want to keep this computer more than a couple years. So they need a machine that has longevity. And I fear that this model does not.
Well, you know, when you look at the specs, you've got USB 3, you've got Thunderbolt, You've got 802.11ac. You've got a fairly strong graphics chip where you can make up for a bit of the weakness of the CPU. I read that yesterday. I think that's kind of interesting because, you know, Apple's behind the scenes helps developers use the OpenCL process. And then you've got the intended use of the machine. You know, people probably aren't going to be going out and loading it up with Parallels or Adobe apps. You know, I see it as a machine for a dorm room or somebody who's buying a graduation gift for their son or daughter as a beginning Macintosh. And in that sense, knowing what we know about the mentality of people using iPads in a very simple way, I think because this is an entry-level machine, it's also going to be used in a very simple way. And so I wasn't hard over on the idea of growth. You know, for the rest of us, we're tech geeks. You know, we buy a machine, we go, oh, I got to be able to expand the memory. I'm going to replace that hard disk with an SSD someday. You know, and I've got to have this technical ability to expand and grow the machine. But Apple knows that people don't feel that way about their iPads. Nobody gets hard over on the idea that they buy an iPad with 32 gig RAM and then they're pissed off because they can't add more memory to it. They use the iPad for a few years, and then the next time they buy a replacement an iPad, they think about what kind of memory they may need in that new iPad. So think of it as an iPad with a large screen and OS X.
Okay. We're out of time. But I do like that argument that that we could look at this as a big iPad with a keyboard and mouse. And with that in mind, sure, I could see where a lot of people that may not have owned a Mac before but have had an iPad or an iPhone would look at this and think, oh, it's just how Apple builds it, and they'll be okay with it. Nonetheless,
I can go with that.
I think Apple's still screwed up on this one. And
I guess we'll just have to agree to disagree on this one, Jeff.
Fair enough. So let's hug.
Okay.
John, thanks for coming on today.
You bet.
And Kelly, thank you for coming on. And
of
everyone,
course, anytime.
Have an awesome weekend.
Bye-bye.